All right.
I am a little fun-sized. I got to be honest with you.
Bite size.
Lots of fun. Don't love the biting. Just depends. Got to be in the mood.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, TMI. Wow.
I'm just saying. It's got to be in the mood.
You know? I get it. Oh, wow.
Works.
Happy Halloween weekend, everybody. It's Friday afternoon. Pulling into this Halloween weekend. This is
going
to be
good. Are you like going somewhere with Rachel?
Yeah, last night it all started for me, George, Linz. It all started last night. She took me to a Pirates of the Caribbean party. So she had my pirate outfit all picked out for me and everything. And I dolled myself up, an eye patch, a wig, earring, the whole thing, you know, the whole schmear. And then tonight she's got me going to some kind of masquerade ball of some sort. I'm like dressed up like the Phantom of the Opera guy. And then tomorrow night, some Halloween party. At this point, I don't know exactly what my costume is, although I'll get there. She'll have it all laid out, ready to roll. So, yeah, Halloween's a really big deal for my girlfriend. This is like her favorite weekend of the year, so I just roll with it.
Is it really like her favorite weekend of the year? Like not New Year's, not the holidays, not like... you know, I don't know, Memorial Day weekend, like where people like go and do like cookouts and stuff. It's Halloween, huh?
George, I promise you, this woman loves to get dressed up in costumes. Loves it.
Okay.
And as a result, because I'm a play along kind of boyfriend, last year she put me, this was Christmas, by the way, this wasn't Halloween, but she loves costumes. Last year she's like, I've got a Jewish boyfriend. I've got him all dressed up like an elf. Like, she was walking around showing me off, like, look at my Jewish boyfriend in his elf costume. Isn't that cute? And I'm like, this is what happens.
Because she's not Jewish.
Correct.
Okay, right.
So, you see, the thing is that she likes the dress-up. She likes all the costumes. She's got bins and bins in her garage with, I'm not joking, hundreds of costumes that she has accumulated over the years. She picks them out. She puts them out for me. I put them in. I'm a good sport. Listen, this is what I have learned in life, everybody. All guys out there, just listen to me for 1 second, okay? You want to be in a happy relationship? You want to be in a happy marriage?
Yeah.
Do whatever you're told. It's simple.
Yeah.
It's a simple
rule. It really is that simple, yes.
Had I known that, I'd still be married, frankly.
Right. Okay. Well, there you go. Then
that's the lesson for today.
Linz, any Halloween plans for you?
I do have a Halloween party, but my friend changed it up at the last minute from a costume party to a pajama party. So... while I do have a Halloween party, I guess I'm just wearing pajamas and I'm not wearing my fun Jessica Rabbit costume.
Oh.
Why don't you wear your fun Jessica Rabbit costume and then put pajamas over it so it's Jessica in pajamas?
Two for one.
I mean, I could do that. And then I want to find out what other people are doing because I don't want to be like the only weirdo that's dressed up in a Halloween costume, you know, if everyone's just wearing cool pajamas.
Yeah.
Plus, I could have fun with pajamas. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to wear my costume, you know?
Yeah. I get it. How about you, George? What do you got going on?
Nothing. The kids are going out. My wife's taking the kids out to like some trunk or treat thing. And that's just it. Like,
what's trunk or treat?
I mean, they just do it in trunks of cars.
Oh.
As opposed to going to people's houses.
Oh, all right. Okay.
They do it in like an open space.
They don't say, Dad, you need to get dressed up. You have to be in costume too. The family doesn't.
Well, I'm also working during this thing. So there's that.
Oh, you have to work.
Like right now, yes. They're leaving shortly.
Oh, I thought this was on Saturday night or Sunday night.
Oh, your Sunday night. They're also doing a thing in like a neighborhood that's like a trunk or treat or whatever, and it's still the same thing. But there's two things going on. There's a today, and then there's Sunday. And then, look, Sunday, you know, listen. You know, I'm not the most religious person. I do believe in like God and all that stuff. I'm not like an atheist or anything, but I'm not the most like religious as in going to like a church type person.
Mm-hmm.
I got my own version of faith and, but Sundays are for football. I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah, right. The church of the NFL. You need me? That's where I'll be.
Yeah, exactly. So me and Andrew Siciliano will be watching games together.
Me and Scott Hansen will be doing the same thing.
Correct. So there you go. That's just the reality of it. So
I'm with you. I got you. All right. Well, it is Friday. It is a Halloween weekend. This is going to be a fun day.
Yeah, it is going to be a fun day. Yeah. Now, is it going to be fun for the Lakers, though, is my question.
Good question. I think to answer that question, George Sedano, we need to dive into who's available tonight. Who's actually putting on the uniform? Who's going to tie up the snakes? And who's getting out there and who's actually going to play tonight? That's the first part of all of this, I think.
Yeah. I guess, look, if LeBron plays, they win. Like, that's just the way I look at it.
Okay. Let me say this. LeBron James must play tonight. Okay? I know.
Wait. You're saying that he must.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, let me explain why. Not only are the Lakers coming off a ridiculously humiliating loss, one of the worst losses in franchise history.
Correct.
That's not from me as some Laker historian.
Yeah.
That's from guys like James Worthy, who've been around it for a really long time, who suggested that the Lakers not even fly back to L.A., rather they greyhound back to L.A.
Correct. Yes, he did say that. Yeah.
Okay. Here's why, in my opinion, LeBron James must play tonight. Because first and foremost, the Lakers must win tonight. Not as in it depends on the playoffs or any of that kind of stuff. It is about getting back on track. That's one. Two, I'm into symbolism, okay? And I think LeBron is into it as well. Do you know what today's date? Do you know the significance of today's date, George? October 29th?
No.
October 29, 2003. On this date in 2003, LeBron James made his NBA debut.
Yeah, do you know against who? Because I do.
Yes, it was against the Sacramento Kings.
Correct.
And the reason I know this is not because it's off the top of my head, because I had to look it up. But it had come into my wheelhouse that today was LeBron's, this is the date in which his NBA career began. October 29, 2003, LeBron and the Cavaliers lose 106-92 to the Sacramento Kings. LeBron has 25 points, 9 boards, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. So if you're into symbolism, like I think LeBron is, the team is coming off a devastating, embarrassing loss. You're home tonight against the team that brought you into the NBA, your hometown team, the team that you won a championship for and delivered for.
Mm-hmm.
You must play tonight.
Yeah, I don't think he must play tonight. How about that? I will say this. I think that loss was so godforsaking embarrassing that if you're Anthony Davis, now you yesterday were saying like, hey, where's AD? AD needs to be the leader. AD needs to take charge when LeBron's not there. It shouldn't be Russ. I think you're going to have some of that tonight. I think you're just going to have AD yamming it on people. And I think Russ will bounce back from, you know, one of those all-time weirdo, awful games that he has where he also has 10 turnovers. So I just think that when you get embarrassed, I mean, you played big-time college football. When you get embarrassed, okay, against a team you know you should beat, and then you're playing another team that, let's face it, you know you should beat in Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's a little better than they've been in the past. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, the Cavs are 3-2. They're not, at least through 5 games, they're not, you know, some sort of walkover. But
they won 3 in a row.
But, yes, they have won 3 in a row.
You tell them, Lenz.
But they're not, they're still the Cavs. You know
right.
what I mean?
Hey, hey. Come
yeah,
on.
No, I mean.
But Oklahoma City was still Oklahoma City, weren't they?
I get it. But now your attention, like when you lose a game, when you lost a game at Pitt against, give me one of the walkover teams, Rutgers,
oh
right?
Right, Rutgers, Temple.
Rutgers, you know? If you lost to Rutgers or Temple, the next week, if you had another weak opponent, if you had, let's say you lost to Rutgers, and then you had Temple the next week, you were kicking Temple's ass, weren't you?
Well, I wasn't because I was just the kicker. But
no, you were just the kicker,
the team,
but the team.
Right.
Yes.
I was encouraging the other guys. I was like, hey, guys, we got humiliated last week. Why don't you guys get out there and kick ass? Why don't you guys go do that?
Yeah. Lewis Riddick, go kick ass.
Right. Get out there. Curtis Martin, go kick some ass.
Yeah. So this is what I feel like is going to happen tonight. It's this. Your pride is on the line. You shouldn't need LeBron to bail you out of this one. Now, I do think he plays, if I had to guess. But, and because of that, I think they win. But I am absolutely convinced that even if he doesn't play, they're going to win this game.
But don't you think LeBron is sitting somewhere inside the Staples Center right now, getting rehab on his ankle,
yeah,
and thinking to himself, I'm not going to have the Cleveland Cavaliers, the team I started with, the team I left, the franchise I returned home to deliver a championship. I'm not going to have Cleveland come out here to L.A., all my people, all my fans back in Cleveland watching this game tonight. I'm not going to have them in my building and not play. In fact, the reason I didn't play against Oklahoma City was because I assumed my guys could handle Oklahoma City without me. Now, yes. I think they can win against Cleveland without me, but yeah. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers in my Staples Center against my team coming off a bad loss on the date that my career started in the NBA 18
what are you,
years
a
ago.
Are you reading a horoscope? Like, what are you, an astrologist all of a sudden now? I mean,
I don't think he cares that much.
I mean, for the love of God,
symbolism.
You know?
Like, I think this is a symbolic date. And I think that if it, look, put it this way, if they were not playing the Cavaliers, if they were playing tonight at home against Oklahoma City, I wouldn't think it was a really big deal. But the fact that the date works out and it's
okay,
against the Cavs.
I'm going to text someone in LeBron's circle. And I'm going to not ask him if he's going to play because they're not going to tell me that.
Ask him if he's aware that today
right,
is
that
the
today is
year.
The day he started his NBA career. Right, I will ask them that.
Yeah,
now, I
do.
May hopefully I get a text back before the end of the show. But I'm going to send a text to someone in LeBron's circle who would know that. And know that if there is a significance to October 29th to him. And maybe you're right. Maybe there is. I don't know. But I do feel like you're going into this astrology Dionne Warwick, shout out to Dionne, you know, like Psychic Friends Network thing. You know what I mean?
I feel like he probably knows, but I think you're taking it a little too far. Like, I don't think he cares. Maybe he cared the year after, maybe even 2 years after. But at this point, I don't think he cares that much.
Or maybe like 10 years or 20 years. But like... at a significant date, but year 19?
But don't you guys think, though, that it's the opponent?
No, I think he cares even less about that.
I don't know. Like, I'm just, look, again, I'm trying to get into LeBron's head. It's not easy for someone like me to get into someone like his mind. But I'm just thinking that if it were me and my former team from my hometown were coming to my arena and my team was coming off this loss and the date all works out, because it's Cleveland, I'm playing tonight.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, I will shoot that text. I don't know if I'll get a response in time before the end of the show because we're off early today. But I will try my best. I will effort that. How about that?
I like that.
I'll say this, though. This is an easy schedule right now. These are get-right games. This game, you got Houston in 2 games in like 3 days, and you've got Oklahoma City again. Like, if the Lakers don't win the next 4, I'm
all
a little
at home,
concerned.
By the way, right? All at home.
All at home. I'm a little concerned because then the schedule starts to stiffen up a little bit, okay? Then all of a sudden after that, you got to go to Portland, and you come back home, and you're playing Charlotte, who's playing good basketball. Then you're playing the Heat, who's playing good basketball. Then you're playing Minnesota, who's playing good basketball. San Antonio, who took you to the brink, right? The Bulls are playing good basketball. At Milwaukee, at Boston. You know, Detroit, whatever. At the Knicks, at Indiana. Those aren't easy games. So the schedule starts to stiffen up. You got to go 4-0 here. Got to go.
4 straight games at home, you got to win them. And LeBron, I suspect, didn't play in Oklahoma City under the assumption of, I cannot play and we can still win this game. On a night like tonight, I think LeBron plays.
Okay. I think he probably does too. I mean, if I had to guess.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Give it to him, Kenny.
Or Cap, start singing. I'm surprised you didn't all go all karaoke here.
Yeah, this one's even a little too cheesy for me.
Oh, no, this is a good one.
Yeah, you like this one? Should we do a duet?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, I don't know.
Turn.
I only
You're
know
up.
The chorus.
You're up, Dolly.
I only know the chorus, sorry.
I miss Kenny Rogers' roasters. I thought they were pretty good.
You know, there was a time where the Kenny Rogers Roasters restaurant was pretty good. Now, did they get taken over by, like, Boston Market? Is that what it became?
I don't know, but they couldn't compete with Boston Market.
Oh, is that what happened?
I mean, I feel like they all went out of business.
I feel like Boston Market was pretty good for a little while. They still around?
It still is. I mean, yeah, it's delicious.
Boston Market is still around.
Is it?
Yeah. But is Kenny Rogers Roasters still around?
I don't think so. I don't think Kenny Rogers is still around.
Well, we know that.
Yeah, I don't think.
He just recently died, I feel like.
Yeah, during the pandemic. Yeah, he passed away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you got to know when to hold him.
I knew
when to fold him.
Oh, here we go. It was too easy for you.
Know when to walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really all I got.
Yeah, I'm trying to see here. Trying to say. The menu. No, it doesn't say if it's still if they're gone. It's just like the origin. This is just like an origin story that I've got here. 2008 purchase agreement allowed for the Nathan's Famous and Miami Subs to continue selling. Oh, okay, that's what it was. Nathan's Famous divested itself of Kenny Rogers Roasters in 2008.
Mm.
Selling it to their Asian franchisee, Roasters Asia Pacific, a company which is owned by the Berjaya Group of Malaysia. The last Kenny Rogers Roasters operated in North America was located in Ontario Mills in Ontario, California.
Hey, IE in the house.
Then the mall. And it closed on December 31st, 2011. There you go. So I do miss the Roasters for a reason.
Well, we would never know all of this information if it wasn't for Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Islands in the Streams, is that what the name of the song was called?
Yeah.
Sure is.
1983.
By the way, have you ever been to the Ontario airport?
I have, yeah.
Not, it's a really nice airport.
Yeah, it wasn't by choice. I landed there one night because I couldn't get into San Diego one night, so they like kept us up in the air and then landed us in Ontario and then bussed us to San Diego. So yeah, I've been there once.
Yeah, it's a really nice airport.
I'll tell you what's a great airport is John Wayne. That is a much easier airport than to use. I mean, I prefer
see, I don't
Burbank.
Love John Wayne. Yeah,
oh, I like I John like Wayne a lot. It's easy.
Yeah,
I like John Wayne. I like Burbank. Burbank's the easiest airport, I think.
Yeah, Burbank is the easiest airport. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, it's literally like a couple of gates, basically.
Right.
It's like a little drive-through. You know what I mean? Like it's super easy. It reminds me of airport. This was many, many years ago. I remember when Long Beach, before they actually built like a structure, it was all like portables. It reminded me. Do you remember that show Wings?
Yeah, I remember Wings, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was like that. Like, it was literally like, I mean, this is going back a long time ago. Like, I want to say easily 15, 20 years ago, like, Long Beach was like portables. And then they built a structure. And Long Beach is also very easy to get in and out of.
Yeah, we got a lot of good options. Yeah. A lot of options around town.
Yeah, definitely. So, real quick, speaking of options, before we get to the options the Rams now have with one of their wide receivers, it is National Breadstick Day. And am I wrong to say that the best breadstick is probably still Olive Garden? Now, I have not been to an Olive Garden in a long time. I haven't had a Leaning Tower of Sicily. Is that what it used to be called? What was the Olive Garden, that big menu item they had forever?
I don't know, man.
I think that sounds
kind of familiar.
There you go.
Tour of Italy. Thank you. Tour of Italy. That's what it was.
That was like the one dish that had a little of everything, like a lasagna over here, spaghetti and meatballs over here.
Excellent job, Tyler. Tyler, Taylor, who's in for Laura today. I changed your name. Look at that.
Took out the A.
Yes, I did. We used to have a Tyler around here before you were here. That's why, too. So I'm also old, so that happens. But apologies. But yes, the tour of Italy. But the breadsticks, bro. Breadsticks and salad at Olive Garden, you could just jam with that. Like, I don't know if you still can, but I feel like you could if you really wanted to. I haven't been in a long time, but the breadsticks at Olive Garden have, like, the perfect size when they're warm. They've got a little bit of salt. They got the right amount of salt on them with, like, and it's, like, garlic salt, I want to say.
Something greasy. There's something, like, a little
Oh, no, there's
greasy.
Butter on it for sure.
Yeah, they take, like, a brush, and they brush it with the butter, and then they do, like, the garlic salt seasoning. Mm-hmm. And you cannot replicate. I always take them home in their little bags with the foil, and you cannot replicate, like, the softness and the temperature when you take them home. They're never the same. They're still good.
No, they're never. Never
not
the
same.
But if someone has worked at Olive Garden, can you tell us the secret sauce basically behind making the breadsticks? Because I am curious as to what it is. And feel free at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Or if there's a better breadstick in town that I'm missing. Now, I'm sure there's a mom and pop place with great breadsticks that I don't know of. So feel free to hit us up with that too. But I love me a good breadstick. Like, I have cut down on carbs a lot over the years. But I still, if you put bread in front of me at a table, it like at a restaurant, it's hard for me to avoid.
I understand that. I do. But I got to say, for some reason, there's like something in my head. It's like, okay, there's breadsticks and there's pizza. You know, I really want to stay away from the carbs, so I'm not going to have the breadsticks. I'll eat an entire pizza to myself, yeah, no problem. Yeah. You know?
That's pretty silly.
But the breadsticks, I don't know, for some reason, I'm like, I can't eat that. You know?
Yeah. Now, speaking of, you know, certain things like we were discussing earlier about, you know, changes,
smooth,
perhaps.
Smooth transition.
Yeah, that was really good, George.
No,
I could
it was
hear
terrible.
Your brain working. Like, yeah, how am I going to make this transition?
It was terrible. There was no transition. It was terrible. But anyway, it's Friday, dude. I don't care.
Right.
Anymore.
I mean, let's get on to it. It's Halloween weekend.
Yeah, exactly. DeSean Jackson. He wants a trade.
Oh, man.
Now, this was weird because you and I talked to him at training camp.
Right.
And he seemed gung-ho, like good to go, back home, all good, Long Beach Poly.
Right.
And, you know, now he was used early on, right? He had those big catches, a couple big games, and then he hasn't really been part of the mix lately, you know? And so I get it, but at 34, like I thought, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought the Rams were bringing him in as basically a luxury item, you know what I mean? And perhaps he didn't think that was going to be the case?
I think, first and foremost, that everybody knew Cooper Kupp is your one, Robert Woods is your 1A.
Correct.
And okay, so now why are we bringing in DeSean Jackson? And I think that maybe we, and I say we, I mean the fans, and perhaps even those inside the Rams organization may have underestimated ever so slightly the development of Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson was a guy that was drafted in the second round just a year ago. So you're talking about a young player versus a guy like DeSean, who's got all this experience, has all the speed, can stretch the field, et cetera, et cetera. I got to say that I'm surprised that DeSean Jackson is asking for a trade, because I think what he's trying to do is continue to get paid, even if it means go somewhere else, as opposed to getting cut and being unemployed and having to try and find a home in the middle of the season. It's week 8. He's
but why would they cut him?
Why would they not cut him?
He makes $4.5 million, and much less than that, actually, because that's incentive-based, too.
You're saying why would they cut him?
Yeah, he makes $2.75 million.
You're saying that there's no reason to cut a guy when he doesn't make a lot of money. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that, and he's also still valuable. Like, clearly he's helped you in a couple of games early this season.
Your point about he's not a $15 million a year kind of player. You know, he was a no-risk guy. You know, this was about risk-reward. There was very low risk because he wasn't going to make a lot of money. There is tremendous upside reward if he's really great. He doesn't have the opportunity to be what he once was in the NFL on this team. Cooper Kupp is one of the best receivers in the NFL. Robert Woods is not far behind. And Van Jefferson is a legit number three on this team. And by the way, here's another part of it. The passing game is highlighted by the tight end Tyler Higbee, who's one of the most underrated pass receiving tight ends in the entire NFL. That's four guys that between them have like nearly 150 catches for the season and probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 15, 16 touchdowns. When you look at DeSean Jackson, 8 catches, 15 targets, 1 score, he's just not the productive player that he once was. And frankly, to your point, he is currently on this roster nothing other than a luxury item.
Yeah, I just feel like I would keep him. I mean, I get if he wants to leave. I don't know. He has an injury history, so, you know, look, I hope they figure it out. And it seems to be amicable, so good for him. But I was just surprised because I didn't think I would assume he would have realized that he was a luxury item. But I guess not.
I doubt seriously that this is about DeSean. I would think this is more about the Rams saying, and we don't really have much of a role for you anymore. And we might be thinking about letting you go. And he goes, hold on, trade me.
Maybe, Maybe, maybe. David in Santa Clarita has better breadsticks than Olive Garden. David, what do you got?
All right, let me help you guys out. So you guys heard of Stonefire Grill, Southern California?
Yeah, of course.
They have way better breadsticks than Olive Garden.
Hmm.
And they got about a half a dozen locations. I'm not even going to go, like, as far as Brooklyn and New York and all that. I'm just keeping it Southern Cal. Stonefire Grill. In Santa Clarita, there's a one store location called Rattler's that has some rolls that you would die for.
Okay.
You got to give it a go.
All right. I mean, they've got a couple near me, I got to be honest with you. So, like, they've got one. I know they got one in Torrance. And there's a couple other ones that are generally in the vicinity. So I've seen it. I've driven by it a million times, but I'll check it out. But thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Next time I go to Magic Mountain, I'll consider it.
Let me sneak in Ezra real quick. He's got breadstick advice in Santa Monica. Ezra, what's up?
Hey guys, I was also going to say Stonefire Grill. So that's all I got for breadsticks. But I would like to say, Soups, if you're listening, fight on. Let's turn this around.
Oh, yeah. We got to get to USC. We'll get to that in a little bit as well, because there's stuff there. And I know people want to talk about the Lakers. We'll get to that as well. But the Dodgers actually had an interesting moment yesterday in discussing their offseason. We'll discuss that coming up in a moment. But first, let me tell you about my friends at Underdog Fantasy. We were just talking football, the best new place to play fantasy sports, whether it's daily or season-long fantasy sports tournaments, football, basketball, you name it. They got NFL pick'em games. Check out this. With this pick'em format, any 2 to 5 players, you can prop them together in a parlay. You can win up to 20 times your entry in one night by doing that. Crazy, huh? Yeah, of course. But they do it at Underdog Fantasy. Over-under games, you pick whether a player is going to go over-under a given stat line in a particular game. So play online or download their app, Underdog Fantasy. Download it to your phone. Sign up today with the promo code RADIO and make your first deposit to receive a free $25 in bonus cash. Visit the website underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store, Underdog Fantasy, and register with the promo code RADIO to get a $25 in bonus cash for free with your first deposit. Download the app today, Underdog Fantasy, to start playing. And don't forget to enter the promo code RADIO at sign up. Underdog Fantasy, terms and conditions apply. We're back in 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, you definitely don't want to do that.
Oh my God, it's so funny. I just had a text today with an ex-girlfriend of mine. And I have no interest in communicating with this woman in any way, because not only did we break up the relationship, but then afterwards, like, she and my ex-wife and my ex-personal assistant, the three of them, like, created an I Hate Cap Club.
Right.
Like, the thing that the three of them all had in common was how angry they all were at me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she texted me today from out of nowhere. And I texted her right back because I thought, let me just get this over with. And she wrote back, wow, that was fast. And I'm like, yeah, I wanted to try and make this as quick as possible. What can I do for you?
Right. And, can we pause, though, on the fact that you had a personal assistant?
Sure.
You had a personal assistant?
That's right. That's correct.
Did you take her skiing in the Alps for Christmas break?
I
with
did
the rest
not.
Of your family?
I did not do that. I did
personal
not do
assistant's
that.
Kind of bougie.
It is super bougie.
It is, but let me tell you something. It was a wonderful, lovely luxury to have at a time when I desperately needed it, and I became so dependent on this woman. And when the relationship was finally coming to an end, mm-hmm. I thought to myself, how am I going to live? How will I ever survive without her? And you find out, you pick it up, you pick up the slack here and there. You can book your own plane tickets. It's okay. You can fill out your own expense reports. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I just feel like that stuff is super easy to do. Like, I would like, look, I'm sure some people could use the job. I'm not debating that. But I just like, do I need to pay someone to do that stuff for me?
I don't know, man. It was a really good thing.
Sounds like you're just kind of lazy.
No, it was just a period of time in my life where I really, really desperately needed the help. And it worked out nicely for a while. And then I don't even want to get into what happened, but I mean, made some really big mistakes.
Should we worry about, like, you know, like lawsuits and stuff when you say, I don't want to get into
it? No, I wouldn't say that. It just was more like what I should have done was I should have, from the very beginning, had some sort of legal documentation that said, you know, you work here and, you know, you have to keep industry secrets here, you know, and I never got into any of that kind of legal doc stuff. And who knows what'll happen.
Yeah. I mean, that just sounds complicated as hell.
It was complicated.
I mean, it was. I gotta be real with you. It is National Internet Day. How long is a fancy, a funny way to ask this, but how long could you stay off the internet if I told you you had to? That means no phone, no computer.
Okay, let me ask a question to answer a question. Mm-hmm. Do I have to live my normal everyday life, or am I doing something that occupies my time?
I mean, you have to live your normal everyday life.
Oh, man. I couldn't survive. I couldn't survive very long at all.
Like, how long? Are we talking hours? Minutes? Like, days?
I'm addicted to my phone. I admit it. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, dude, you're on your phone. I'm like, I'm addicted to it.
Right.
You know, the phone used to be a thing. You pick up, you call people, you take calls. It's not like that anymore. So I've got this thing in my hands all day long. I can't put it down. I love it.
Wait till you have the Meta and it's ingrained in your brain.
Oh, yeah, the Meta. You were poo-pooing the metaverse, and now your boy at Facebook. I told you he was going to be the guy to bring it all out to everybody.
I know. Mark Zuckerberg, my Hebrew brother, my man. You're going to get into my head again, aren't you?
Yeah. He's got you. You're sold. You're going to be wearing 3D goggles or VR goggles very soon.
I know. George, I don't know how long I could last without the internet.
I mean, give me like a time frame. Minutes, hours?
Yeah, I would say if I lost my phone and I didn't have it and I was away from my phone for 2 or 3 hours, I'd lose my mind.
You'd go buy another phone.
Probably so. Yeah, probably so.
Lindsay?
I will say this, though. About a year and change ago, my girlfriend went on a 10-day Grand Canyon hiking trip. Mm-hmm. No phone, no access to service.
Yeah.
10 days she was without a phone. But again, you're river rafting, you're hiking, you know, you're around other people. There's, you know, there's some interaction. But I don't know if I could do that. Could you?
I mean, listen, when I was on vacation for 17 days, I legitimately went 10 days without social media. I mean, could I do it? Could I go 10 days without the internet? Maybe not, but a couple of days for sure. I'd totally just like veg out. Yeah.
I have a hard time during the day. If I'm going to go out for a run, I'm like, do I bring my phone? Because what if I need to make a call? What if somebody's looking for me? What if my kids need me? Like, you know what? I'm not going to take my phone. So I literally text like the top 5 people on my phone. Hey, I need an hour. I'm going out for a run. I won't have my phone. I'm leaving it here.
That is too much. You have to like alert someone. Hey, I'm not going to have my phone with me for the next hour. That you have a problem with your phone. You're not joking.
No, I'm not. I'm not joking.
I mean, that does seem pretty ridiculous. Like, you text people that you're not going to be without your phone.
I sure love not like having to worry about stuff like that. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
I don't need to tell anyone what I'm doing or where I'm going. No one even asks me, hey, what are you doing today?
Well, I'd say this, Linz. When you got 4 kids, there's always something going on.
Right, but I never will. So that's what I'm just saying. I love the freedom of my life that my life affords me. That's all.
Lindsay, how long could you go without a phone?
Right now?
Internet.
If I...
Forget the work part of it.
Okay, forget work. If I absolutely had to and it was like a contest or we were just doing it for fun and we decided who... I would say like the weekend.
Okay.
I usually don't really go on social media a lot over the weekend, and I could definitely go, unless you're counting streaming services, because, like, I got to watch my TV. Because I'm a cord cutter.
I mean...
No, that kind of counts as the internet.
Sort of counts,
I mean, okay, we'll just say that I'm going to watch TV then. If I'm allowed to watch TV, I can go the weekend, for sure.
Yeah, you can watch TV. Yeah, yes.
I can go the weekend.
Okay, fair enough. All right, real quick, the Dodgers. Yeah. So, Andrew Friedman yesterday, Look, we talked about how, you know, he basically told people that Dave Roberts was making decisions when it came to in-game. Now, you, Kaplan, were a staunch believer that that wasn't the case. Now, are you buying Andrew Friedman, what he's selling?
Well, the cynical side of me says, no, I'm not buying it.
Okay, so let me have the audience kind of, because there's plenty of people that agree with you. So let me have the audience take a listen. Taylor's going to play Andrew Friedman yesterday about that, the decision-making in-game. And I want you to tell me if this is a plausible explanation. Go ahead, Taylor. Yeah, like that's not plausible to you? Like, hey, we have a game plan. We go over a lot of different scenarios, but in-game, it's up to him. I can't, you know, he even went as far as to say, and we don't have that in the cut, that there are times he makes decisions that I don't agree with, but I'm not the manager.
Heard him say that. Look, is it plausible that what Andrew Friedman is telling everybody is 100% the truth? Of course it is. If he were lying, or if he were exaggerating, don't you think that we probably would hear from a Dave Roberts like, no, it's not exactly accurate. But the thing is that Dave is still the manager of the Dodgers. So I don't think Dave's going to go and do a sit down with the media and go, hey, I heard what Andrew said. And that's, he's not exactly telling you the whole story. So it is plausible to be sure. And I don't want to be so caught up in my perception that I can't believe what Andrew Friedman is telling us. I just find it very hard to believe that Dave Roberts makes this decision of, you know what, Urias, eighth inning, that's where we should use him. I find that to be inconsistent with the season, not previous
seasons.
Well,
no, of course it's inconsistent with the season because the playoffs are a different kind of season. One is a marathon, the other one's a sprint, and they treat it as such.
Yeah, but I just feel like the Dodgers were down with so many arms in the starting rotation that the decision to use Urias in the eighth inning, I just felt like that was an organizational decision, not a simple managerial decision.
What,
decision.
You think he's like texting him in the middle of the game, hey, put Urias in the eighth inning?
No, I feel like organizationally they made a decision that we will bring him out of the bullpen in this game.
Oh, I sure. Or he's available to go in the bullpen. I think that discussion is had. But the decision to actually make that happen is on Dave.
You know, again, I'm a cynic, so just hear me out and take it for what it's worth. And if you're not buying what I'm selling, that's fine. But I'm a cynic, so here goes. There's kind of a bit of a separation that I hear from Andrew Friedman. Like, no, that's Dave's decision. We talk about it. We analyze scenarios. But, you know, the game goes on. It's a couple hours in. Him and Mark Pryor and Bob Green and Danny Lehman, all these guys, you know, bullpen guys and bench guys, they make these decisions. You know, if you separate yourself from the coaching staff and the management.
Well, but I think he's doing that not so people don't think he's just some puppet, like, which is what you're basically saying.
Well, what I'm saying is that the reason perhaps, and again, I always have to preface it with, this is the cynical mind. I preface it by saying, if and when he doesn't retain Dave Roberts, if, then it's like, well, he makes those decisions. I didn't like those decisions. I felt it cost us where we could have gone because
I mean,
of the decisions
he made. I don't
think
he's going that far. I think that was more along the lines of, okay, let's do this on the other side. Let's discuss that further on the other side. Plus, we'll get to your favorite subject, the Chargers, this weekend, who I think have a much bigger game than people are leading us on to believe.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll tell you this, song, isn't it the most like played Christmas song now? Like
yes.
The most streamed or whatever?
For sure.
Yeah.
We got to stop doing this with all these dates and all these things. This happened in 1983.
I was just saying that.
This happened in 1994. And the reason I say we got to stop doing this is because not only me, but everybody who's listening is like, oh my God, 1994 was 27 years ago. Where the hell did the time go? Like, things happen so fast, you don't even realize it until you go, 1994. Oh my God, that was 27 years ago. How did that happen? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe we should stop doing this. It's reminding me I'm getting older.
I was just thinking more so because of the tangents that you go off on, like the one that Morales just mentioned.
Oh, gotcha. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right about that. I don't know. Listen, here's what I can tell you guys. I thought I was middle-aged. I thought I was 50 years old. I'm a middle-aged guy. Do you guys think 50's middle-aged?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you do. Because I say that I'm middle-aged, and somebody said to me, no, if you're middle-aged, that means you expect to live to 100.
Well, I mean, technically, I guess it's like 40s is middle-aged, yeah.
Right. So they're like, well, if you're only going to live till you're 80, and hopefully longer, they're like, dude, you're on the back end, man. You're like LeBron's
so
career,
here it is.
You're like Tom Brady's career.
By definition, yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. Middle-aged, between 45 and 65.
Oh, okay, good. All right, good.
Those are your middle ages.
I fit right in the middle. I feel very good about being in the middle of middle-aged.
Yeah. You are right in the middle.
There you go.
So, but anywho, that song, I can't wait to hear it all over the place. Like, it's going to be everywhere. It's
well,
going
hey, to be fantastic. George, Monday's November 1st. We're going to go from Halloween.
Yeah.
We'll pull in November. People start breaking out their Thanksgiving decorations.
Yeah.
We'll have Thanksgiving by the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, we are full-blown Black Friday, holiday season, Christmas Eve, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's. I'm telling you, man, we're here.
I feel like most people these days tend to skip the whole Thanksgiving decor and whatever.
And go right to Christmas?
Yes. My sister has it. It's like a family holiday thing. Every year, the day after Halloween, they put up her four Christmas trees. Yes, she has four.
Wow.
And that's four like a Christmas thing. Trees. A lot of people do it.
Well, when do you put your Christmas tree up, George?
My wife does it. So I guess after Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, Rabbi, I'm sorry, but my daughter loves to have a Christmas tree in the house. It's a white Christmas tree. It's plastic. It's got blue lights all over it. So it's sort of white and blue, kind of Hanukkah-ish, even though it's really Christmassy-ish. It's like a Jewish Christmas tree is what it is. I don't know.
It's okay.
It all right.
I know plenty of Jewish people who love the, you know, they go to Christmas parties and stuff.
Not only do we go to Christmas parties, you know what we do there?
What?
We eat the hell out of some ham is what we do.
Yeah, and whatever else is out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, you got ham? Because it's Christmas. Because I'm Jewish. Because that's what I want.
Yeah. Well, my people, we do pork. We do like, you know, so you get like, I mean, still same animal. But,
right.
You know? So, there you go.
All I want for Christmas, you're going to hear
now,
a lot.
Now, Morales is objecting to your white Christmas tree. Like, you don't go au naturel.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think it's embarrassing. It really is. But then again, on the other hand, if my mother came in and she saw a tree, like, it doesn't matter. It's a white fake tree. My mother's like, what has happened to you? You went to Hebrew school. You were bar mitzvahed. You had a traditional Jewish wedding. And now my son, the bar mitzvah boy, has a Christmas tree in his house. Yeah, Ma, it's right next to the menorah in the window. So, yeah, I understand. It's offensive.
Wait,
I got it.
Now, I just want to say that I don't remember what happened to my Christmas tree when I moved here. I just never got a new one. But I used to have a white Christmas tree, and it was very pretty. I just thought it was cool looking. It was gold and silver, but, like, the tree itself was white.
Yeah, every year my kids are like, Dad,
yeah, you gotta
go?
But you got to go real, like, normal Christmas tree. I mean, right. The white one, I feel like.
Right, the real one, though. The real one that smells good. You know, it smells like a real tree that you put in your house, you know?
Yeah.
I know, but then I got to go schlep, I got to go to the place, I got to get the tree, I got to put it in my car, makes a mess, got to bring it in the house. Ugh, I don't have time for that.
I don't know.
White Christmas tree.
So you're doing the fake white Christmas tree.
Correct. That's right. Mm. Fake white Christmas tree.
Mm.
Right, with lots of Jewishy kind of little things hanging from it. You
yeah,
know?
Chris Size. Says you should go get a fresh tree and he'll hold the axe for you. Hey, let's finish this Dodgers discussion because I want to get to the Chargers too because we don't have a lot of time here. So I just feel like you're being too cynical on this. Like, like the distancing of Dave Roberts. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't see that. I see him just being like, yo, you guys ask me this every year. And yes, we're all on the same page, except at the end of the day, I'm going to let the manager do the manager thing. You know what I mean? And it worked. We won a championship. It didn't happen this year. We fell short of our goal. But enough of asking me if he's basically a puppet. Like, I think that, see, that's how I interpreted what Andrew Friedman would say. But you are looking for an angle here. And I just don't think there's an angle on this one.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe there isn't. But I would say this. Dave Roberts needs a contract extension.
He Dave does, Roberts, but there's also a potential lockout coming.
I understand. But I would still, if I were in Andrew Friedman's shoes and if I were in the Dodgers' shoes, I'd say Dave Roberts is our manager. He is well-respected around baseball. He is very well-liked and well-respected inside this clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And this is our manager, and he's in the last year of his contract. Mm-hmm. Give Dave Roberts a contract extension, and I'll tell you right now, my opinion might change. But what I'm saying is that with 1 year left on a deal and Andrew Friedman saying, not my decision, his decision, I hear a little bit of separation, because if by chance he's not our manager, it's not us together tied at the hip. It's I run the team. He ran the clubhouse. He was in uniform. We decided to make a change. I'm staying. He's out. You know, it's funny, George. I called a friend of mine today because I wanted to get an opinion. I'm not telling you who, Lindsay. I'm not dropping names today. But I called a friend today because I wanted to get an opinion about what the Padres did by hiring Bob Melvin. But we started talking about the Dodgers. And here's what this friend of mine said. He goes, you know, the brilliance of Andrew Friedman is that when you look at Tampa, where he came from, look how good they still are because of the system that he was part of down there. And then he said, look how great the Dodgers have been. But then look at Milwaukee, Atlanta, and San Francisco, all winning ball clubs who all have somebody from the Andrew Friedman tree inside their front office now. So it's very easy to see.
Is it a white tree? Way fake white trees, as you mentioned the tree. Yeah.
It is, because Friedman, like me, probably has a white tree with a Star of David on the top of it and a bunch of highs hanging off of it. Okay. But the fact is, he's got a lot of guys around baseball that are winners in front offices that he has been a part of their careers, and they've kind of moved on from him, and they've taken this philosophy, and they've gone to other organizations, and they've been incredibly successful.
Yeah. By the way, Kent McGrath just tweeted us a picture of Ray Liotta with the white Christmas tree in the background. Is that Goodfellas, I think? Yeah. It's funny. That's you.
I love Goodfellas.
Look, I just think you're reading into too much here. And I get what you're saying. I just think you're reading too much. Real quick, you know what? We didn't get to the Chargers. Can we save the Chargers? Because I want to get to the Lakers, too, in the 5 o'clock segment. But let's do some Chargers and Lakers. We'll do like a little half and half. How about that? Because we only have a short show today. We're done at 6. So let's do the Lakers on the other side. What should the Lakers actually be worried about? And the Chargers need to set a tone this weekend. We'll explain what that means coming up in just a second. But first, let me tell you about my friend Sam and Ash at Sam and Ash Injury Law. Look, you've heard me talking about Sam and Ash. You heard how much I love these people, okay? I have gone out with them. I have broken bread with them, even breadsticks, as we talked about earlier. These are good people. They're here to help you. And what I would say is, don't just take my word for it. Take their clients' words for it. The people that I've spoken to all say the same thing to me. Sedano, the biggest difference between Sam and Ash and all the others is them. Sam and Ash, great people, treated me like a human being, cared about my individual case. Sam has a couple of decades of experience working with personal injury victims, handling thousands of cases, recovering huge wins for his clients. And one of those clients told me this: when I was dealing with another attorney, I was dealing with like a call center when I would call them. I could hear like a telemarketing room in the background. I was a number to them. Personal attention is what you get with Sam and Ash. And speaking of Ash, a former college hooper, by the way, maybe she can help the Lakers. But also a former defense lawyer for a big insurance firm, so she knows the tricks of the trade of how these insurance companies are not like a good neighbor. And at Sam and Ash Injury Law, they're available to anyone who's been hurt and wants help. It's really that simple. You get access to the best legal advice, guidance, and representation to get you what you deserve. LA's very own Sam and Ash Injury Law. They help, they care, and you win. That simple. Call them at 800-304-2000, 800-304-2000. Se habla español. Visit them online, samandashlaw.com. We're back in 90 seconds.